Welcome to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the five types of offerings in the book of Leviticus. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the scriptures teach. Let's get started. The book of Leviticus begins by describing five different types of offerings that were to be made. All of them are for a different purpose, and all of them foreshadowed a different aspect of Jesus' sacrifice for us. They also apply to the sacrifice of self that we are to make in our service to God today. So in this episode, we're going to look at the five types of offerings and see how they parallel the sacrifice of Jesus and the self-sacrifice that we must make today. First of these offerings are the burnt offerings. They're talked about in chapter 1. Leviticus 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "If his offering is a burnt offering of the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall offer up the blood and sprinkle the blood around the altar that is at the doorway of the tent of meeting." Verse 9 says, "The priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord." This offering was to be a bull from the herd, unless one's means were insufficient, in which case he could offer a sheep or a goat or a turtle dove or young pigeon. And except in the case of the birds, the offerer would lay his hand on the head of the animal, kill it, and the priest would sprinkle its blood around the altar. The offerer would cut it into pieces and wash it, and the priest would offer it in smoke on the altar. Certain burnt offerings were made on a regular basis on behalf of the congregation. These were done daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. However, this chapter, Leviticus chapter 1, emphasizes the burnt offerings that would be made by any man of you, verse 2. These would be made when being cleansed of some uncleanness, as chapter 12 and chapter 14 talk about, or as a voluntary vow or free will offering, as mentioned in chapter 22. The key point about burnt offerings that we need to remember was that the offerings were completely burned up. The next type of offering in chapter 2 are the grain offerings. Verses 1 through 3 says, "Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of fine flour and of its oil and all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire." The King James Version calls these meat offerings, even though they did not involve meat. At the time that that translation was made, the word simply was used to denote food. There were three types of grain offerings that could be made. The first three verses talk about the fine flour. You could also have prepared bread or cakes, verses 4 through 10, and also the early ripened grain or the first fruits, as talked about in verses 14 through 16. The priest would offer a portion on the altar and would keep what remained unless the priest presented the grain offering, in which case it would be burned entirely. The offerings could not contain leaven or honey, verse 11 says, and were required to be seasoned with salt, as verse 13 talks about. Grain offerings were always made with burnt offerings or peace offerings. They would also be accompanied by drink offerings. The point to remember about grain offerings was that they were a bloodless sacrifice of bread or the flour used to make bread. Number three are the peace offerings. These are talked about in chapter 3 and also chapter 7. In Leviticus 3:1, it says, "Now if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord." In chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offerings is a votive or free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice. And on the next day, what is left of it may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire." Chapter 7, verse 31 through 33 says, "The priest shall offer up the fat and smoke on the altar, but the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among whom Aaron's sons, among the sons of Aaron, who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, the right thigh shall be his portion. A peace offering could either be a bull or cow from the herd, a lamb, or a goat without defect. Like the burnt offering, the offerer would lay his hand on its head and kill the animal, and the priest would sprinkle its blood around the altar. The offerer would remove the fat and kidneys, and the priest would offer it in smoke on the altar. The food from the peace offering was to be shared by the offerer and the priest. Peace offerings would be made annually during the Feast of Weeks. They would also be offered by individuals at any other time as an expression of thanksgiving or to confirm a vow. The key point about peace offerings was that they were shared by the priest and the offerer. Number four, we have sin offerings. These are talked about in chapter 4 and the beginning part of chapter 5. In Leviticus 4, 1 through 4, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, If a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord." The sacrifice to be made for the sin offering would differ depending on who had sinned. A bull for the priest, as we read in verses 1 through 3. A bull for the congregation, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. A male goat for a leader of the people, chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And a female goat or lamb for any one of the common people, chapter 4, 27 and 28. For the sins of the priest and the congregation, the priest would sprinkle the blood in front of the veil, put blood on the horns of the altar of incense, and pour out the rest at the base of the altar of burnt offerings, offer the fat on the altar, and burn the rest outside of the camp. For the sins of a leader or a common person, the priest would put blood on the horns of the altar of burnt offerings and pour out the rest at its base, offer the fat on the altar, and eat the flesh with the other priests in the court of the tabernacle. If a common person was too poor to offer a female lamb or a goat, he could offer two turtle doves or pigeons or a tenth of an ephah of fine flour. The sin offerings were for unintentional sins, and some examples are listed at the beginning of chapter 5. A confession with these was also to be made, chapter 5 and verse 5. A sin offering for the priest and the congregation would be made annually on the Day of Atonement. We'll talk about this more in a couple weeks. But on this day, the sin offering for the congregation would be two goats instead of a bull, and then other sin offerings would be made as needed. The points to remember about the sin offerings was that they were for atonement, and that the remainder of the sacrifice was burned outside of the camp. The fifth and final type of offering that's talked about are the guilt offerings or trespass offerings. In Leviticus 5, verses 14 through 16, says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, If a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation in silver by shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part of it, and give it to the priest. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. These offerings were to be made when a sin had been committed either against God or man," which is talked about in chapter 6, "in which restitution could be made. The sacrifice in these cases would be a ram without defect. And besides the sacrifice, the offender would make restitution and add a fifth to it. If the sin was against the Lord, the fifth would go to the priest. If it was against another man, the fifth would go to the one who was sinned against. Since guilt offerings were made when one sinned against God or his fellow man, they would be offered as needed. They would also be made when one was cleansed of leprosy." Chapter 14 talks about that. But the point to keep in mind about the guilt or trespass offerings was that they involved making restitution to the one who was sinned against. Now, as we look at these in foreshadowing the sacrifice of Christ, Jesus' sacrifice was part of the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2:23 says. As the law points to Christ, Galatians 3:24, the different offerings also point to different aspects of his sacrifice. The burnt offering was completely burned up, and Jesus offered his life completely. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, Philippians 2:8 tells us. The grain offering contained bread, or the flour used to make bread. Jesus came down as the bread of life, he said in John 6:35. The peace offerings symbolized fellowship as it was shared by the offerer and the priest. Jesus, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, is our peace, who reconciled us to God through the cross, verses 13 through 16. The sin offering was made to make atonement. Jesus offered his blood on the cross to make atonement for us. Paul talked about that in Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. Also, as these sacrifices were burned outside the camp, Jesus suffered outside the gate. The Hebrew writer made that clear in Hebrews 13, verses 11 and 12. The guilt offering included making restitution, which meant that the one who had been sinned against received something that was of greater value than what was originally lost. We were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. He redeemed us to be a people for God's own possession, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, 1 Peter 2:9, 9 and 10. He has redeemed us to be his people in the church that he purchased with his blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. So God once had us that we were not a people, but now we are his people in the church. Now that's how these sacrifices foreshadow the sacrifice of Christ, but there's also a parallel for us as Christians today. As Christians, we must be crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, and present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to him, Romans 12:1. As his sacrifice on the cross related to those five offerings identified in Leviticus, our sacrifice can also be made in the or be seen in the same light. As the burnt offerings were completely burned up, we must give our lives completely to him. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." As the grain offering was a bloodless sacrifice, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12:1. As the peace offering involved fellowship, we enjoy fellowship with God and his people as we obey him. John wrote in 1 John 1:3, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." In verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." As the sin offering was burned outside the camp and Jesus suffered outside the gate, we must go out to him outside the camp bearing his reproach, Hebrews 13:11 through 13. He expects us to come out and be separate from the world, 2 Corinthians 6:17, and to take up our cross daily and follow him, Luke 9:23. As the guilt offering involved making restitution, when we follow the Lord, we must offer ourselves as something better than what we were before. This means that we repent of our past sins and commit to a life of faithful obedience. Romans 6:17 and 18 talked about how we have been freed from sin and we are now slaves of righteousness. Jesus redeemed us from every lawless deed so that we would now be zealous for good deeds, Titus 2:14. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the sin of Nadab and Abihu. Until then, I hope you have a great week.